Thank you for choosing this resource by Creflo and Taffy Dollar. Our goal is to provide an understanding of God's grace and empower change. Now listen to the gospel taught with simplicity and understanding, and watch it change your life.
Father, we give you thanksgiving. We give you praise for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. And I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that you continue to convince us by your word that the grace of God will always outlast and be more than any situation or circumstance that we will ever endure. We thank you for your word. We feed off on it, Lord. We trust you no matter what. And we give you praise for this night. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, turn and greet two or three of your neighbors. Amen. Just a quick reference of what we've talked about, and then I want to show you how God will take care of you if you'll let him. We were talking about this past Sunday some vital points about seeking God first, and it came up because God's made plenty of promises to us that he would take care of us and that he would bless us financially. And so what happens is sometimes you start focusing more on that, you forget to focus on seeking him. Now, that's going to be the key to everything. That's the key to every issue you have, is the fact that you can either allow the situations and circumstances to capture your attention and you start focusing in more on that than you do God. And when situations happen, what do you lean on? Do you lean on and trust on and rely on God as your source? Or are you consistently finding yourself leaning and relying on other things? And so we talked about, number one, the importance of having a single focus on God as your source in everything you do. A single focus. God is my source. No matter what happens, no matter what's going on, God's my source. Situation going on with kids, God's my source. Situation going on in a job, God's my source. Marriage, God's my source. Finances, God's my source. It's amazing to me how the world has different options. And some of them are an attempt to try to replace the anointing of God. And, you know, God wants to see if you're going to choose him. Are you leaning confidently and relying on him? So it's important to be focused on God is your source. Remember, whatever you focus on, you strengthen. And so you've got to be careful not to focus on weaknesses or focus on anything that'll hurt you. Whatever you focus on, you will strengthen in your life. And then secondly, we gave you a warning about a divided heart. We wanted you to understand that it's important for you to seek God first and for you to understand that prosperity is a byproduct. It should never be the goal. Some people say, well, that's something pretty easy to do. Well, you know, you can say God is your source and you can say, well, I seek God first. But as long as you think you're the source of your prosperity and as long as you think you're the one that's causing this production of good to happen in your life, then your heart's going to be divided because, you know, on one hand, you'll say, well, you know, I trust God. He's my source. But then when financial issues hit your life, then you'll start thinking about what you need to do to fix and repair this thing. See, as long as you keep thinking that you are the source of your prosperity, and as long as you keep thinking that you're the source of the good in your life, then you're never going to be clearly focused on the things of God, and you're going to find yourself divided between God and your own attempt to perform and to do something to fix the issue at hand. So beware of a divided heart. Focus and keep a heart that is just steady and focus on God as the source of your life. Say it out loud again, God is my source. Then we begin to talk about that we've got to change the way we think about money and we got to change the way we think about prosperity. And that thinking has to be a way of thinking that lines up with the Word of God. The difference between a man walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh is the way he thinks. You see, when you think in line with the Word of God, you're going to be walking in the Spirit. But when you think in line with something that goes against the Word of God, you're going to be walking in the flesh. Or most of the time, things that go against the Word of God will involve your performance, your self-effort, and what you can come up with to do to try to handle that situation in your life. And so you're going to have to change the way you think. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you will literally become the way you think. And you've got to be careful not to think yourself into a situation that you've put God outside of that situation. Then we talked about the purpose of work, that we work in order to have something to give to those who are in need. That's according to 2 Thessalonians 3:10, Ephesians 4:28. We work so we can have something to give to those who are in need. And then we talked about that God kind of prosperity is measured not based on how much you have accumulated, but it's based on how many you have blessed. In other words, are you an instrument where the favor of God can flow through your life into somebody else's life? And then we talked about how God will evaluate prosperity by how much of a blessing you are in other people's lives. And then we ended up with honor and trusting God. As you honor God, as you trust God with your substance, then he guaranteed that so shall your barns be filled with plenty and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, I want to spend the time tonight, and I'm not going to keep you long tonight. I want to spend, well, I can't make that promise, but I want to spend some time talking about how God will assume the responsibility of taking care of you when you put seeking his face first. When you decide that I'm going to seek God's face no matter what, God will now assume responsibility for your care. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's pretty awesome. I want God to take care of me. I want God to take care of every situation. I don't want to compartmentalize. I want God to be able, that's a key statement, I want him to be able to take care of me. But the only way he's going to really be able to assume the full responsibility for your care is that you're going to have to decide, you know what, God, I'm going to seek you no matter what. God can take care of you better than you can take care of yourself. I said God can take care of you better than what you can take care of yourself. But he can't do that. He's hindered. He's not going to be competing with you. God's not going to keep. If you decide that this is what you want to do to handle this, and if you decide that, you know, I'm not going to consult God or believe him or walk with him and I'm just going to handle this on my own, then you're on your own. God's not going to compete with you. He's a gentleman. But if you decide I'm going to seek God and you're going to practice seeking God, you're going to practice automatically leaning on God. You're going to ask yourself a question in the midst of a hard time and in the midst of a challenge. Will I trust God in this? You know, there's always the temptation to murmur and complain about something or even to express a fear or a panic about a situation. But somehow in your life, the guy that's decided to trust God will grab hold of his emotions and say, you know what, Lord, I trust you for this one too. I believe you for this one too. This is gonna be fine. I trust you for it. Now help me to posture myself in a faith posture that says and communicates that I'm trusting God. You know, the thing I'm more concerned about when I talk about trusting the Lord is that it's been used so much that it's almost calloused in the hearing of people. Oh yeah, I trust the Lord. Oh yeah, I trust the Lord. And yet when Jesus took the rich young ruler and said, let's find out if you really trust me, sell what you have, give to the poor, lay up treasures in heaven and then come follow me. You know, this guy in front of everybody was falling on his knees and looking like he was trusting God. And Jesus says, I'm gonna show you where your real trust is. It's in money. It's in your possessions. And so I'm asking you, all right, so we're talking about trusting God, and we know that if we can't trust God in the little, which Jesus said is the money, then you can't trust him with the big things. And this is not, well, I got to prove to God that I trust him. No. God already knows whether you trust him or not before you do anything. This is to prove to yourself that you can trust him. to get your heart out of the way where it's not condemning you, and you're proving to yourself, I can trust God, therefore I give. So there's no way you're authentically trusting God until you get to the point where you are giving. Your giving is your trust. Your giving is your trust. Jesus knew that you would be tempted to trust money then more than you would be willing to trust him. That's why he said you can't serve God and mammon. So in order to prove that I trust God, he says you're going to be a giver. When you give the thing that you're tempted to trust the most, that's when you've proven that you've trusted me, that you trust me. And so this whole issue that we've always focused on the money thing and not the trust thing, the issue is the trust thing. If I trust God, then I will trust him with the least. And Jesus said the least is money. So your failure to trust God in giving and receiving is your failure to prove to yourself that you trust God in healing you of cancer or delivering you from any other thing that you deal with in your life. I think the number one deal with God is this. He wants to be trusted. He wants to be your supply house. He wants to be the one to take care of all of your needs. That brings him great joy and great delight. What grieves him, however, is when he sees you accepting the responsibility of taking care of your needs and you've kind of put him out without giving him the opportunity to do what he will do so much better than what we can. I am convinced that no matter what in my life, my training every day is now, can I trust God with this? Now watch how you're acting, watch how you were acting, and watch what comes out of your mouth, because I want to make sure that I have the posture that I'm going to trust God no matter what. When you get used to doing stuff like that, then it becomes an automatic thing. And that's what the Bible talks about when he says the difference between renewing your mind and renewing the spirit of your mind. You can renew your mind by just kind of changing your thoughts. But when you renew the spirit of your mind, you renew your mind so deep that it moves automatic into the thing you renewed your mind to. Remember the illustration I shared with you about driving the clutch and the stick shift? You started off having to renew and think differently about driving. But the more you did it and the more you shifted stick and your clutch and you got the coordination down, it was something that you could do literally without thinking because it was so renewed in your system, you did it that way. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Can we get ourselves to a place where we automatically lean on God when things happen in our lives without having to think about it? Yeah, that's what I want to say. Without having to think about it, can I lean on God? Without having to think about it, can I trust him? Without having to think about it, can I rely confidently on him and watch him do what needs to be done? I am saying to you tonight, if you can accomplish that, then God will assume the responsibility of taking care of you. He will assume that response. That now will become his responsibility. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. That's what he wants. And that's what I want. I do not want my religion to stop God from being able to take care of me. My religion is mixed in with all of what I can do and all of my performances and all of my actions and my guilt and condemnation. That's my religion. No, I don't want that to get in God's way. I want to continue to work and to train in trust until the spirit of my mind has been so renewed that I automatically, without thinking about it, it's not even a thought, I trust God, this will be fine, and God has assumed the responsibility of taking care of you. Do you get that tonight? He's assumed the responsibility. And I tell you what, we want God to assume that responsibility of taking care of us. We just want him to do it, amen? And I'm not talking about just in financial things. I'm talking about when there are disagreements between husband and wife. Trust God. Trust God. I'm telling you, I have seen him do supernatural things in the lives of relationships that they can't even explain. But God got in the middle of it, and he changed this, and he changed that, and they didn't even know, and then you're just still, after 50 years, still married and loving one another. Supernatural forgiveness that God provides in that area. Where your children are concerned, you got to learn how to trust God. You get in the way sometimes of something that God's setting them up to be able to do something that's going to change them at that point and for the rest of their lives. But sometimes your fear and your lack of trust stops you from just letting God do what he needs to do, praise God. And then life-changing things begin to take place in their lives as well. So when I use the word trust, I'm not using it in a religious sense. I am so serious about us renewing the spirit of our mind until we can see what God can do in areas where we've been trying to do something and we've had little to no results. Give God that opportunity to assume responsibility for the care of your life. He will care for you much more than you've ever been able to care for yourself. And that's what the Bible meant when he said, cast all your cares on him. You see what he's saying? Why? Because he cares for you. Here's what I believe it literally means. As you cast all of your cares on him, you now give him the opportunity to assume care for you. And that's what we're looking for him to assume care. Now, I could talk until I'm blue in my face about how powerful this is, but when I finish tonight, it's going to be up to you. When I finish tonight, I'm not going to have a down moment because I said something to you and you chose not to do it. I'm just going to keep saying it, you know, after 20 years, where are you trusting God? Yeah, I heard that before, but it ain't working. No, you don't get it, bubba. Okay, this is a real thing, not a religious saying. Amen. I trust God. Amen? Say it out loud.
I trust God.
Say it out loud.
I trust God.
Yeah, but are you a giver? See, that's the key right there, because if I ask you if you're a giver and you say you trust God, I can come right back and say, no, you don't. Because if you can't trust him in the least, then you cannot trust him in the much. You can't even trust him where giving and receiving is concerned, and you think you can trust him to heal you of cancer. Not going to happen. I didn't say that Jesus did. He said it is impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And what he was talking about was it's also impossible for a man that doesn't trust God with his money. It's impossible for him to take hold of the things or the resources of the kingdom of God. It won't happen. Okay? So, in 1 Kings chapter 17, I want to show you God assuming responsibility to take care of you once you put your trust in him. And I want to use tonight a character by the name of Elijah. In fact, he's not a character. He was a real man. He was a prophet of God. And Elijah had a lot of experience with God really taking care of him and with God really being committed to look at him. I want to start in verse 1 and just read on down to this because, man, you're talking about being taken care of. I mean, there was no doubt about it that God was the one that was taking care of Elijah. In verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was the inhabitants of Gilead and unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So according to this word of this powerful prophet, he says, it's not going to rain no more until I say so. That's powerful, isn't it, man? All right, verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, and here's what he said. Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall come to pass, or it shall be, that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So notice how he's surviving. He's drinking from the brook, and the ravens are bringing him breakfast and dinner. Ladies and gentlemen, that's powerful. But I can hear some Christians saying today, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but this is real life. No, that was real life. I mean, what do you think going to happen when you're the one responsible for it not raining? God says, I want you to go hide yourself. Trust me. Hide yourself. I'm getting ready to take care of you. Trust me. Hide yourself. And I'm going to have the ravens to feed you, and you're going to drink from the brook. All right, go to the next verse. So he went and he did. He went and he did. He went and he did. Turn to your neighbor and say, went and did.
He went and he did
according to the word of the Lord. For he went and he dwelt by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan, verse 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Boy, that's powerful. This is God taking care of him. Now, of course, you know, somebody says, well, what did he eat? Well, what does it matter? He ate. And that's what's wrong with us now. We're looking at what we eat. I don't want that. I tell you what, when it's a matter of survival, you'll eat it. I don't eat liver. Let's see. Let you go by 50 days not eating. That's going to be the best liver you ever had for in your life. The issue was not what he ate. The issue was fact. Listen, that God was providing for him. God was providing for him what was necessary to stay alive. He hid him. He was protecting him. He gave him water and he gave him flesh and he ate breakfast and he ate dinner. Somebody said, where lunch at? He ate breakfast and he ate dinner. Okay. God helped him not to be hungry for lunch. All right. And now look at verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So no rain, the brook dries up. All right. So what do we do? See, when you're trusting God, there are probably people in here who understand what I'm saying when I say the brook dried up. When you lost your job and the savings were gone and the brook dried up. Huh? Can I get a witness? And what do you do when all of your plans don't go through and the brook's still dry? Well, here's an illustration of a man who the brook's dried up, and let's see who he trusts. Look at the next verse, verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath. Now, let me stop for a moment. How many of you still believe in the word of the Lord coming unto you? I still believe that the word of the Lord can come to you. Quit looking for stuff in the mailbox and get on your face and see what the Lord got to say. Because one word can change everything about your situation. See, all you need is a word from the Lord. One word from God will change your situation. And it's not that God doesn't speak in whole complete sentences, but he doesn't have to. He'll tell you exactly what he wants you to do. All right. So he said, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, notice what God did. He said, I want you to go to Zarephath. I've already set you up. Already found somebody. Now, this is interesting to me because on one end, God's trying to minister to you, but he got to set something up on the other end. That's why you got to learn how to walk with God. Because you might be ready for something to happen. You don't understand on the other end, he's trying to get that other side ready. That's why you just got to trust him. And when you don't see things happening right away, that's when you start worshiping him and thanking him and praising him because you know it's already done, even though you don't see nothing right now. Your posture still remains the same. I trust God. And what I don't see is not going to cause me to back up on it. I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to show you something, devil. I still trust him. Thank you, Jesus. You begin to worship him because you believe you receive his care. Hallelujah. Say out loud, I believe I receive God's care for me. Say it again. I believe I receive God's care for me. You don't have a job. What am I going to do? The bill's coming. Ain't no panicking here. I believe I receive God. God's care for me. God is working it out. He's perfecting. How many of you believe that? Amen. He's perfecting everything that concerns you. I believe that. I believe that no matter what situation I'm in, God's working on it. He's perfecting everything that concerns me. What I have to remind myself is don't let the panic set in. There is a tomorrow. What I don't see today, there is a tomorrow. Remind yourself, there is a tomorrow. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. There is a in the morning coming. Amen. And just God's not going to let you down. Amen. Turn your neighbor and say, God's got your back. Oh, you become a most powerful Christian when you recognize that none of the resources from God will take care of you like the source can. Amen.
Amen.
And money is a resource. And it's an act of perversion for you to take the resource and try to make it your source. Amen. And don't serve the resource. Serve the source. Amen. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman. I have already, past tense, it's taken care of that, commanded a widow woman to sustain ye. It's set up before you get there. Now watch this. 10. So he arose, he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Okay, so far, so good. No response from the lady. And as she was going to fetch it, so she noticed she was going to go get the water. No response, no nothing. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Now the lady getting ready to respond. We got a little water over here, but we ain't got too much more to eat. And I'm going to tell you right now, this was getting ready to happen. Look what she said. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son. I ain't got nothing but this little bit left, and I'm going to be selfish with it. Me and my son. Yeah. Ain't nobody got nothing for you. I'm going to go and dress this for me and my son. And look what else she said we're going to do after that. That we may eat it and die. All right, now watch this. She is now encountering a man who now he trusts. He's been living his life trusting God for care, trusting God for care. Now he's getting ready to teach her. She's on her last leg. He's getting ready to teach her how to trust God. Now, I told you before, there is no authentic trust without giving something.
Amen. Amen.
When you give, you trust. Amen. See, she's getting ready. She has declared that the very source of her livelihood is based on this bread. She's putting her trust in it because she says, this is the last we got. We're going to eat it and die. And God don't want you putting your trust in resources. He wants you to put your trust in him. Verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Stop right there. If there's one thing that's going to try to come when you decide you're going to trust God, it's fear. The greatest fear that Christians will experience, and Satan is behind it big time, is the fear that what God promised you won't come to pass. I'm afraid that God won't be able to take care of me. So the fear drives you into self-preservation. Fear drives you back to looking at yourself to get you out of the situation. So you don't believe that God can preserve you. So now you're out of fear preserving yourself. Now you're trying to do something to preserve yourself. That's what people do all the time. I hear what you're saying, trusting the Lord, but this is real. So because you don't really believe it, self-preservation kicks in, all right? And now you got to figure out something to try to get this happening because the next day is the due date. Forget the due date. This, if God wants you to have it, they'll change the due date. If they can't, maybe you don't need it. Okay? Now, Elijah said unto her, don't fear. So say out loud, no more fear.
No more fear.
I am not afraid.
I am not afraid.
God takes care of me.
God.
I will not fear,
what men can do unto me.
For with God,
nothing shall be impossible.
Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? You seeing this? He said, go, do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Wow. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now, remember, the issue is not the resource. The issue is not the cake. That's not the cake. He's trying to get her into a place where she's trusting God. He knows it's not going to be good enough for you to just open your mouth up and say, I trust God. He knows if this trust is going to be authenticated, it's got to be authenticated with you giving away the thing you're tempted to trust more than God. The thing we're tempted to trust more than God is money. The thing she was tempted to trust for her livelihood more than God was that cake. Elijah said, only trust is going to move God. So, baby, hear what I want you to do. Make the cake just like you said, but give it to me. Right. Now, if that were done today, Lord, the paper picked that up in the days of the internet and the tweet and all that kind of stuff. Pastor Dollar told this lady who was homeless to give her last $50 to him. You know, a friend of mine did that. The lady had $83 left. She was dying of stage 4 cancer. God told him to stop praying for her and said, she don't trust me. Tell her to give all of the money she got and put it in his hands. She said, but that's all I got to live off of. He said, I know. Let's do it. She did it. When she did that, the power of God came over her and she got healed. And not only did she get healed, but she had more than enough, way more than $83 to come in to help her for the rest of the time. What happened? God don't need your help. He needs your trust. You keep trying to help him and he needs you to trust him. Your help is not moving the hand of God. You understand what I'm saying? It's your trust. In fact, and under the covenant of grace, the hand of God's already moved. But trust is required to get it to manifest in on your life. So that's what he was doing. That's what he was doing. I looked at this, and the first thing he did, that we got to have some trust in him. You got to trust him like I trust him. So take the resource that you're putting your confidence in, give it away, and as you do that, you prove that you trust me. Because your giving is your trust. Wow. All right, now watch what happens. There's the fear of if I give it away, then I'm going to die. You're going to die anyway. Just like you do. Well, if I come to church and give my money and put it in the bucket, what am I going to pay my light bill with? Well, how much a light bill? 83. How much you got? 24. They're turning your lights off anyway. It's like Philip, it ain't enough. But that's how religion has trained us to reason that way. All right? So he said, bring it unto me. And then he said, after, make for thee and for thy son. Now, you got to know what she's thinking about. After. Didn't I tell you we just have like a little left for me and my son? We're going to eat it and die. Now we're making it for you. After? What we got after? A pinch? Watch God. Watch this. I want you to see this whole thing, man. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail or die until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. God promised her, you were going to have this resource until it start raining again. If you'll take the resource, glory to God, and trust me by giving it, then the very thing you thought you were going to be out of, that trust allowed the flow of it to keep coming in your life. Y'all don't hear me. God was working on this. He was working on this in the Old Testament. Come on, look at the next one. And she went and did. Somebody shout, went and did.
Went and did.
Thank God for went and praise him for did. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And see, we've made sermons out of all of this stuff and missed just the key part, the trust. And she and he and her, she, he, and her house did eat, somebody say, many days. God took her from the last day to many days. Huh? He turned their worst day into their best day. How did he do that? When she authenticated her trust through her giving. That's when it happened. When she authenticated, and what I mean by that, I mean she just didn't say, I trust God. She proved to herself that she trusts God by taking what she had her, the temptation was to trust the resource instead of trusting God. God don't want you. You know that's called idolatry? It's when God was first place in your life and you replaced God from being first place with something or someone. That's idolatry. Okay? And so the power was released not because she gave the bread to the prophet. It was indirectly, but it was released because she proved to herself that she could trust God with that resource. Just like Jesus said, if you can prove to me that you trust me with your money, then I know you trust me. And if you can trust me with the little, then you can trust me with healing your cancer. You can trust me with your family. You can trust me with your children. Amen.
Amen.
So I know money's involved, but that's not the objective. The objective is trust. The issue, that's a better word, is trust. Not the money. We keep making the money the issue. Over the years, we've made this meal, this bread, the issue from this story. It was key, but what was it key for? Showing and authenticating trust. All right, now watch this. Verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So notice, what caused the barrel of meal not to fail? Trust. It's the same thing right now. When you put your trust in God, He won't fail to take care of you. He will always be taking care of you because you keep proving over and over again, I trust you more than money. I trust you more than the issue is mammon or God. He knew that. The issue for us today is mammon or God. The issue for us today is money or God. Those are the only two areas where trust is going to be put. You're going to trust in the resources of the money right here, or you're going to trust in God. And He says you can't serve both, so you're going to have to choose. If you trust money, then God says, I can't do nothing for you. If you trust God with your money, He says, I make sure you have plenty of what you need, including money. But the issue is not money. It's trust. And the issue is, until I can trust Him with the least, I'm not going to be able to trust Him with the greater. Same illustrations. If I can't lift 5 pounds, don't try to lift 100. If I can't jump 3 feet, don't try to climb a mountain. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. All right, verse 17. This keeps going. And it came to pass after these things. Now, I call this the first great lesson of trust. Now, remember I told you start with the least and you work your way up to the greater. All right, now, they just finished dealing with how we're going to survive. All right, so now what happens now when somebody dies? See, they were working on the least, working their way up. Look what happened. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. His sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. What happened to her son? He died. Now think about it now. If I can't lift 5 pounds, what make you think I can lift 100? See, if she couldn't trust him to feed her, how's she going to deceive herself into thinking she's got enough trust for him to raise a son up from the dead? But because she was able to trust him with the resources, she worked her way up. Many days they did this, you know, worked her way up. So when this thing started happening, she would be able to trust him to raise a son up from the dead. What would have happened if she'd have failed that first opportunity? He'd have been dead, watch this, and she'd have died too. Look what happened. The breath left him. Look at verse 18. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance? Boy, that's just something. Under the old covenant, that condemnation and that guilt was there. And immediately she thought, it's because I sinned. Immediately she thought, this is happening because of my sin. You know, the devil still pulls that file out today.
Yep.
He still wants you to think that things happen to you because of your sins. Jesus is taking care of your sins, ladies and gentlemen. Don't allow the devil to trick you into thinking and to condemn you into thinking that these things happening in my life because of my sins. No. And she thought, well, you slayed my son because of my sin. Look at verse 19. And he said unto her, give me your son. And he took him out of her bosoms, carried him up into the loft where he abode, laid him upon his own bed. And he cried out unto the Lord, O Lord, my God, has I also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son. See all that sin consciousness there? Verse 21, he stretched himself upon the child three times, cried unto the Lord, said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. 22, and the Lord, who has assumed responsibility for the care of this house, heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Huh? He revived, not because of Elijah, because if it was because of Elijah, he'd have got up the first time he laid on it. It's because of the trust. Now, I want to show you something. You see how sin consciousness tried to interrupt their trust? You got to know you the righteousness of God. And you cannot allow sin consciousness to interfere with you trusting God. See, what happens is while you're trusting God, the accuser of the brethren will try to bring up something in the past to tell you this is the reason why this isn't happening. And that's when you've got to remind yourself, I am not under the law, I'm under grace. And under the covenant of grace, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Now, the Amplified, I looked at this the other day and I was almost shocked myself. And I was wondering why they had that part in italicized, because it didn't appear in the original script where it says to them who walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. It was in italicized. And the Lord said, I didn't put that there. He said, I meant when I said that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, period. Regardless whether you're walking in the spirit or walking in the flesh, if you're in me, there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. Ooh, Jesus, I about wanted to run on that one, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, glory be to God. And the Lord heard the voice and the boy got up. Now watch this next verse. Glory be to Jesus, thank you, Lord. Heard the voice and Elijah took the child, look at the woman now, and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. I like what he said. See, your son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God. Well, I guess so. a shadow and a type of Jesus, you know. And that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Well, the Bible says Jesus came to give us grace and what?
Truth.
And truth. And that's what's happening in the New Testament. This is a type and a shadow of living this life, trusting in God by giving of the resources that you are tempted to put your trust in. And you start with the little. And as you start with the little, you work your way up to the much. But this is where it starts. If I can trust God to feed me, then I can trust him to raise my child up. If you can trust God in giving and receiving, then you can trust God to heal your body of cancer, straighten your children out, your marriage straighten out. You can trust him with the deeper things. But where does it start? This is a truth that I need to show the body of Christ. I know that I'm talking about giving your money. I know that he was talking about giving the meal. But we put too much focus on the money and the meal and not the object or the objective of doing those things. And the objective was not so God can get your money. The objective was so you can give him your trust. Amen. And once you give God your trust, ladies and gentlemen, he assumes total responsibility for all of your care and your house. Now, as a man, you need a backup sometime.
Yes.
Well, all the time. Okay? You need a backup. And men will let you down. But God won't. And I don't want God to just be your backup. I want him to be your guide. Amen. He got your front, your back, and your sides. Amen. But that's not going to happen until you authenticate your trust. How? By being a giver. Give. No, not obedience. I want to make sure you understand the difference between obedience under the old covenant and obedience under the new covenant. Obedience under the old covenant says, do this and you get this. Obedience under the new covenant says, Jesus has already done it, so be obedient to receive what's already done. That's a great point. I need to pay you to go with me. You bring out these good points, you know. The point that I want to make here is that you think by you doing something, that's how you get something. Under the covenant of grace, it's already done. Provision's already there. Healing's already there. Deliverance is already there. It requires one thing for you to get it from there to here. Trust. Under the law, do good, get good. Under the law, do bad, get bad. Under the grace, under the law, demands, demands, demands. But under the grace, it's not doing, it's what Jesus has already done. Under grace, it's not do good, get good. It is God is good, and he gonna give you good, not cause you good, but because he good. Under grace, it's all about what Jesus has already done. Under the law, you're trying to get it done. You've got to be careful not to have more faith in what you can do for Jesus versus having faith in what Jesus has already done for you. Oh, you see the difference here? And so obedience under the law is doing good, get good. But how am I obedient? Under the grace of God, I am obedient to receive what's already done. How can I receive what's already done? Through my trust and faith. I'm healed by grace through faith. I'm saved by grace through faith. I'm delivered by grace through faith. I prosper by grace through faith. All of the finished works of Jesus Christ are provided by grace. And for me to get it on my life, it's going to have to go through faith, through what I believe. You follow what I'm saying? You got to change your thinking from law to grace, or you end up trying to do something to try to get God to do something. Well, I'm going to pray for 9 hours and that ought to open heaven. Heaven was open 2,000 years ago. You understand what I'm saying? And you'll get caught up in religious thinking, which will block you, because what happens now, under the law, you trusted your performance more than you trusted anything else. Yeah. You can't trust your performance under grace. You got to trust Jesus. Yeah. Your trust is in him. Your trust in it is in what he can do. Grace is not a message. Grace is the gospel. Grace is a person. It's not the message. Well, Brother Dollar preaches the grace message. No, I preach the gospel. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And as we become more aware that trust is how we get it on our lives, faith and trust and belief is how we get it on our life, we have now simplified the Bible. And here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Either you trust him or you don't. Unbelief shuts everything off. Belief turns it all on. It's going to be up to you. There's nothing you can do God can't take care of. His blood can't take care of. He can take care of any sin or any kind of crap you pull up in your life. He can take care of it as long as you can believe he can. And you don't go to hell for your sins. You go to hell for rejecting Jesus Christ. People go to hell for rejecting the plan of Christ and rejecting Jesus. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus has already dealt with every one of your sins. He's already made you the righteousness of God. You just got to start believing that you are the righteousness of God, and then that will begin to flow out of your life. Ooh, man, I went to Florida last night. I attacked spirit of religion like something, like I had just came from heaven. I wouldn't let them get away with nothing. I thought we were going to either start a riot. First thing I said is I did not come here to be careful. That is not my objective. I came here to be radical. And then this morning I was preaching. I said, I got to go home. Why? Because I'm preaching Bible study tonight. You are? Yeah. This is special time for a whole lot of us.
Amen. Yeah.
We don't wait till a Sunday. This is special time. Few of us get here on a Wednesday night and we just get in the Word of God and chop it up and marinate it and put some pepper and sea salt on it. And dear God, we put it on the grill on a slow cook and we just let her rip. You understand? I look forward. I don't care where I am. I look forward to leaving wherever I am to see if I can get back here for Bible study. Because this blesses me more than it blesses you. It blesses me more than you. I get blessed. I won't even write a book until I come and preach it at Wednesday night Bible study. I preach it, then it all gets straightened out. Because y'all greedy. And y'all do something, say something. You put a thought on the inside of me. I hadn't considered that. I didn't plan on going this way, that way. But you done sat there, or you were looking a funny kind of way, and it got my attention. And it was just, you just stir the pot up, you know. But I am convinced of this one thing. Where the Bible says, Luke 6:38, you remember? What'd he say? Give, and what'd he say will happen? All right, now let me ask you this question. How come you think it'll be given unto you when you give? So watch this. Instead of me saying give in Luke 6:38, watch this. Trust, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Well, how do I trust? Give. See, the focus has been on the cash that you hadn't thought about. Well, and then we even thought, well, dear God, if I give $1,000, then maybe God might just bless me. No, if I give $1,000, it is to prove that I can trust God. The $1,000 is never going to get what grace is made available. It's through faith. Everything we get it through faith. Don't ever forget it. We don't get it through $1,000. We get it through faith. $1,000 just proved to yourself that you could trust him and had the faith to believe that he could come and do what he needed to do. And besides all of that, if I'm not going to let money be my source, I'm going to give it to make sure it'll never be my source. And every time I give it, I keep getting more of it. And then I'm going to keep giving it because it ain't never going to be my source. And then God says, "Ooh, I can trust him, give him more of it." And I'm like, I'm still trusting you, and I give it. And then he give more of it. Next thing you know, you're like, what in the world going on? You giving and now you can't beat God giving like y'all in a contest. Here, God, no, you take more. Here, and he multiplying that more. You're like, I'm trying to give you the money. No, I just want your trust. You can keep the money. I just want to make sure you don't trust the money. You remember what he said in Psalms 50? I don't need your money. You remember what he said in Psalms 50? He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't let you know, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I don't need none from your house. I own all of everything. Oh, I'm stirred up. I praise God. I'm stirred up. I realize it takes time for people to hear this stuff over and over again, and I'm committed. Dear God, I got a good 50 years left. Hallelujah. I mean a good 50 years. On my 98th birthday, I already know what I'm going to be doing. Preaching to your children or you if you're still here. Oh, praise God. Still talk. It took all this time to be able to see all this stuff come together. And now that it's come together, I don't mind being the strange guy on the block. I'm going to keep talking this. You just watch and see. Watch and see. They going to get this. Not many people preaching on grace right now, but you watch and see. Yeah, out of necessity, they're going to have to start preaching because that other stuff, it ain't going to buy no one. Me talking this stuff, that stuff ain't going to, nobody want to hear all that no more. And I got a loud voice. I'm not talking about screaming. I'm talking about when I say something, it go all over the world.
Amen.
Amen. And they go all over the world every day. All the time.
Yes.
And I intend on getting this all over the world. Yes, sir. Devil think, well, I tell you what, we crash his airplane, we'll keep him grounded. I don't need to go nowhere to get it all around the world. I'm here in Atlanta, Georgia right now, and I'm preaching to the Bronx right now. preaching to Houston, Texas right now. Huh? Preaching up in Norcross right now and in Villa Rica right now. What, seriously? Saturday we preach all over, Australia right now. Come on, man, what you talking about? I'm stirred up, I'm telling you. There's some private things, maybe Taffy and I choose to share it with you later, but they're miracles of God. There ain't nothing we could do. It wasn't nothing we could do. But God did it. God did it. And what we're learning, it ain't taking him no long time. We're working on automatic. Go to automatic. Trust in God. Don't you let your emotions get out. Just trust God. Trust God. Don't you let your emotions get your emotions. Get your emotions right back here. Because your emotions move you. If they're negative, they'll move you away from the will of God. Paul talked about holy emotions. Emotions that'll generate an attraction as you begin to worship God. And more of that'll start happening. You'll start worshiping God more and more. Because once you realize that it's already done, you ain't got nothing to do but say thank you. You spend every day, thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. And then you don't let somebody write a song that fits your situation. You'll be singing that thing all day long. You'll sing it all day long. Every time you think about getting down, you'll sing that song all day long. Praise the Lord. I tell you, it's time to get stirred up. We're not a bunch of sad folks walking around, oh, you know, like they did on the Ten Commandments when everybody was in slavery and they all had on them little rags and everybody all dirty ain't had a bath in all year long. And no, that ain't us. Whom the Son sets free is free. Free. We're free. We're free from our past. We're free from doubt. We're free from fear. We're free from sickness and disease and lack. We're set free from all of that. We got a reason to rejoice. I know you think, well, Pastor, I ain't got no reason to rejoice. You don't know what kind of day I had. But you got a reason to rejoice because God delivered you out of that day. Glory be to God. You got a reason to rejoice. You got a reason to shout. And you might as well be the one that shout. When you worship God, you're displaying the highest level of faith. That's when you say, Lord, I know I don't see nothing. I don't feel no different. Ain't no money showed up yet. But I still believe it's already a done deal. I got to worship you right now. I got to give you praise right now. I thank you, Jesus. You get to worshiping God. You get to thinking God. Then your mind will get away from when it's going to happen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. See, the devil will still try to talk to you, but praise will tell him to shut up. The devil will try to still move against you, but the Bible says that praise will still, or it will paralyze that joker. It's still a good thing to do. You ain't got to be from the sanctified church to praise the Lord. You just need to understand why you need to start praising the Lord. You ain't got nothing else to do. You can't heal yourself. You can't deliver yourself. You can't prosper yourself. Jesus has already did all of that. So you might as well just go ahead and thank him and praise him for what he's already done. Thank you, Jesus. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. I know I can't see it. I might not even be able to feel it. But I trust in him. I trust in him. I still say Grandmama Nim knew something. They knew something when they, in the midst of, I mean, they sitting there don't know when they're going to get put out. And they get on that front porch. Ain't nobody got no money. Don't nobody know when the snatch man coming. And they look at one another. I mean, I remember Miss Susie doing this. And they said, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord until I die. Oh, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord until I die. Boy, we better leave that thing alone. Ha ha. I'm gonna stay on the battlefield. I'm gonna stay on the battlefield. I'm gonna stay on the battlefield until I die. I'm gonna stay on the battlefield. I'm gonna stay on the battlefield. I'm gonna stay on the battlefield until I die. Yeah. Oh, thank you, thank you. Shila basurian dele la basoya basanda la basa. Thank you, Jesus. And so, Lord, we commit our lives to you, that we will seek you and trust that you will assume total responsibility for our care. We praise you for that right now, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Amen. Isn't God good?
Thank you for watching this teaching. We pray that this message has encouraged and empowered you to pursue God's best for your life. His grace is the pathway to living an abundant life. For additional life-changing resources or to learn about becoming a 2020 Vision Partner, visit our website at www.creflodollarministries.org or call toll-free 1-866-477-7683. Thank you for your support of Creflo Dollar Ministries. People like you change the world.